Welcome in, sports fans. It is the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast. I am Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Of course, we are going to get things started and talk a little NHL, a little NBA, a little NFL. But before we get into all that, some sad news last night as Appalachian State football player John Murphy, his teammates called him Jack, suddenly passed away on Monday. So definitely want to just start off the show today by sending out thoughts and prayers, not only to the App State football family, but to the family of John Jack Murphy as well. And they're definitely going through a tough time. So we're going to keep them in the thoughts and prayers here at Glass Half Full. And just, you know, you never want to hear something like this, especially from a young college athlete. But again, App State football player Jack Murphy sadly passes away on Monday. And just once again, want to send out well wishes and thoughts and prayers to not only the App State football family, but the family of Jack Murphy as well. Now on to some NBA stuff, because there is quite a bit to talk about inside the NBA. I mean, we'll start, obviously, one of the big stories from last night. The Lakers eliminated. Dunzo not playing basketball anymore on the season as the Denver Nuggets eliminate them 4-1 in that opening round series. Took care of them in five quick games. The interesting thing to look at here from the Lakers is just kind of been the dynamic of the Lakers this entire season. I know they've had some injuries. They've had some other question marks throughout the season that's really kind of hurt them. But really, they just never were able to get into a rhythm. They really never were able to be the team that they thought they could be. And you saw LeBron, especially towards the end and even in the postseason, really get extremely frustrated, which poses a very interesting question because, see, June 29th is the deadline for LeBron's option, right? He can either opt into his final year of his contract, or he can opt out and become a free agent. Who is more likely to not be a Laker next year? Let's play a little fun game on Glass Half Full today. Who is more likely to not be a Laker next year? Head coach Darvin Ham or LeBron James? Or, here's a little curveball for you, both. Ah, that's the caveat right there. That's the one that makes you go, huh, okay. Because very real possibility that the answer could be both. Now, I will say, if it comes down to management for the Lakers, if it comes down to the front office, we know the answer. It's going to be Darvin Ham is the one that's not a Laker next year, right? Because here's the thing. They're not selling sports coats in the team store that say Ham on the back, right? Now, they're selling jerseys that say James on the back. LeBron James is the guy that people are coming to see. They're buying the jerseys, they're buying the t-shirts, and when they're at the games, they're buying the popcorn and the soda and the beer and all that stuff because of LeBron James. He is the show that you are selling there in LA, and you are not going to get rid of that unless it's his choice, right? I mean, think about it. Everywhere he's been in his NBA career, he's a guy that has made the decision to leave himself. He's never had a team get rid of him. He started off his career in Cleveland. Then he decides to leave in free agency and go to Miami. His contract is up in Miami. He decides to leave and go back to Cleveland. His contract is up in Cleveland. He decides to leave and go join the Lake Show out west with LA Lakers. I mean, this guy has never had a team say, nah, we don't want you back. And rightfully so. I mean, he's arguably one of the best to ever play the game. Michael Jordan, as a 90s baby, Michael Jordan is still my GOAT, and I will die fighting on that hill. Michael Jordan is still number one in my book, but I will put LeBron up there in top three, top five easily. So, yeah, of course, no team is going to go to him and say, yeah, no, we don't want you here anymore. So it's going to be his choice. But like I said, if I'm the front office for the Lakers, I'm looking at this and going, okay, do we keep Darvin Ham? Do we keep LeBron James? We're kind of in a weird situation here. We could potentially lose both. I'm taking anything and everything I have, and I'm putting it towards LeBron James and trying to keep him, right? We can get another coach, right? There are other coaches out there that you can go and grab that I think could probably do a better job than Darvin Ham. Because let's face it, Darvin Ham necessarily has not done the best job. Has he done a bad job? No. But has he done the best job? Not really. So I think if you are the Lakers, you've got to put everything in the LeBron James basket and hope he comes back. Again, just because the Lakers come to him and go, hey, we want to give you the keys to the kingdom. If you didn't have them already, we want to make sure you have them now. We want to give you everything. Whatever you want, we're going to give it to you. I mean, I would have already done that if I was the Lakers. But if they haven't, that's what you should do right now. But even still, with doing that, June 29th rolls around, he can go, yeah, you know what? I want to be a free agency. I want to enter free agency. I want to be a free agent. There's lots of places that look more appealing right now than L.A. San Antonio, go down there with a young Wimby. Could you imagine that matchup? Golden State, put him up there with Steph Curry. Could you imagine that matchup? I mean, there's lots of other places that LeBron James could potentially go that he could actually thrive. He could have the help he's had. Because let's be honest here, all right? With LeBron James and his career, and there is a track record for this, and this is not a knock to LeBron James in any way, but when he's won a championship, he's had big-time help, right? He's had Kyrie's. He's had Dwayne Wade's, Chris Bosh's, right? He's had those guys on his team that he can help, that if somebody is shutting him down, he can facilitate to, and he can trust in them that they're going to make the plays that the opposing defense is shutting him down from making. He hasn't really had that the last couple of seasons with the Lakers. I know, yes, they have Anthony Davis. They've got a couple of other key pieces, but he just has not had that one guy or that duo like he had in Miami between Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. So he hasn't had that lately, and I think that's something that he might be looking for. So you know what? Going to San Antonio and matching up with a young Wimby down there, that could be a possible solution. Going to Golden State, matching up with Steph Curry, another option that could be potentially enticing to him. Basically, if you're the Lakers right now, you have to go into panic mode a little bit. I don't think necessarily they're too broken up if Darvin Ham doesn't return next year, whether he makes that decision or they make that decision. But if LeBron James does not come back next year for the Lakers, that could be a bad situation for them. So you got to make sure you do anything and everything if you're the Lakers front office to keep LeBron James in that purple and gold uniform next year, right? Have him pick up that option, finish out that last year of his contract. Then if he wants to be a free agent, he can go be a free agent. If he wants to call it a career, he can call it a career. But you need to do anything and everything you can to convince him to pick up this last year moving forward. So the whole question, the whole game of who's going to be a Laker next year, who's not, I think Darvin Ham definitely not going to be a Laker next year. I know they're saying, oh, well, in the next couple of days, we're really going to look at that and we're going to examine some things. No, they've already made up their mind. He's not coming back as the head coach of the Lakers next year. LeBron James, they need to put a full court press on him to pick up that last year of his contract, to pick up that, was it like a fifth year option or something like that? He needs to pick that option up. But again, at the end of the day, the Lakers can put that full court press on. It is going to be up to him. So there's a very real chance that the answer to that question of who will not be a Laker next year, Darvin Ham or LeBron James, the answer could be both. It's a very real possibility if you're a Laker fan. Some other NBA news, the Celtics, big win last night, 102-88. But sometimes in sports, when you win big, you also lose. Kristaps Porzingis left the game with a right leg injury. He was seen leaving the visiting locker room last night with a medical boot on his right foot. When he left the court last night with that injury, noticeable frustration, he buried his head into the inside of his jersey. And yeah, I mean, that's not good for them. It's not good for them. Does it seriously impact their chances of still winning a championship? I think it can. It can. I mean, that's your big man in the paint, right? That's your big center. You rely on him a lot on that inside game. You rely on him to be physical with opposing teams. So it definitely is going to be something that could be a hindrance for them down the road. Now, as far as this series against Miami, they've got a 3-1 lead. They're going back to Boston after a big 102-88 win. I think they're probably going to wrap up this series Wednesday night when this game goes back to Boston. So I think they're going to wrap this up within the next game or so. I don't think Porzingis being out is really going to affect them against the Heat. But down the road, when they're taking on some teams that they're going to need to have that presence inside, if Porzingis is not healthy, if he can't continue to go for the Knicks, or excuse me, for the Celtics, when they go up against a team like the Knicks, then I think that, you know, it's going to be a situation where that could be an issue for them. So definitely something worth keeping an eye on as the Celtics continue to make their run throughout the postseason. Other than that, look, the Celtics going into the postseason, the Celtics were my favorite to win the NBA championship. I thought that they were playing really good basketball at the right time, and they've kind of been that dominant team all year. I mean, they've had that moment where they kind of go up and down. For instance, they had the game where they won it by, like, what, 52 or something like that, and then they lost, like, two in a row. So they can be susceptible to that up and down flow sometimes, but I still think they are just, even without Porzingis, I think they're a very talented team. I think they're a well-coached team, and I think they have still a great opportunity to compete and potentially even win the NBA title for this season. And a team that is not going to be winning the NBA title this season because they are already done for the season, that is the Phoenix Suns. They've got a lot of questions, right? The Lakers have the, what are we going to do if we lose LeBron and Darvin Ham? Well, the Phoenix Suns have to look at, what do we do if we lose Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, right? That is their big three there for the Suns. And I don't know if they're going to lose everybody. There's rumors out there Devin Booker wants to go play for the Knicks. Some reports came out yesterday, and I was like, ah, no, don't listen to that. Devin is he's a Sun. He doesn't want to go play for the Knicks. He's going to stay here. So I don't know if there's any validity to that. Stephen A. Smith has said, his sources inside the NBA have said that Devin wants to go and play for the Knicks. If there's a couple of people I trust when they say things about the NBA, Stephen A. Smith is one of those guys. So maybe there might be a little, you know, fire to this smoke somewhere, but we'll just have to see how it plays out. Kevin Durant still got, I think, one or two more years left on his contract, but he could opt out for free agency as well, kind of like the same situation with LeBron. And Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is the guy that, this is the mystery for me, because Bradley Beal obviously was a Sunday night when they played the game and got eliminated. There was that situation that got caught on camera with Frank Vogel trying to give him a high five coming off the court, and he just kind of literally just like swipes at his hand, just like, get that out of here. And then proceeds to go onto the bench and high five teammates and other coaches. So that makes me wonder, is there a little bit of drama there with Bradley Beal and Frank Vogel inside that locker room? I think if any of these three players are going to leave, I don't know if it's going to be Bradley Beal or Devin Booker. I think Kevin Durant is probably the more likely, and that's just because Kevin Durant's kind of become that nomad in the NBA, right? Like, I mean, he started off his career at OKC. You thought he was going to be a Thunder for life. Then he ends up going to Brooklyn. Now he's in Phoenix. So he has kind of bounced around a couple of places the last few years of his career. You know, so I think Kevin Durant, if any of them are going to leave, Kevin Durant is the more likely of the three. I think Bradley Beal stays. I think that whole situation with Frank Vogel, I think that was just some frustration. Because the funny thing is, heading into this series, he pretty much told the press, well, he didn't pretty much, he did flat out tell the press, he's like, I've never been swept before in my entire life, and I'll be darned if I'm going to be swept now. Of course, Sunday night after the game, he sits down meeting with the media, and he looks at them and goes, well, I'll be darned. So a nice little funny back and forth there with Bradley Beal. So I think that was maybe just some in-game frustration with Frank Vogel. I don't think it's any deeper than that. I think sometimes we like to do in this kind of work, we like to make things deeper than what they are. But in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the game, you know, sometimes things like that happen. Sometimes teammates start arguing with each other. They may push or shove each other. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that there's a deeper issue there. It's just a heat-of-the-moment situation. And I think that's what happened between Bradley Beal and Frank Vogel. So I think Bradley Beal is going to stick around as a Sun. I think Devin Booker, if Devin Booker goes to the Knicks, it won't surprise me, because like I said, Stephen A. Smith says that he's getting reports that this player wants to go here, that player wants to go there. I'm going to perk up and I'm going to listen to that a little bit, because Stephen A. Smith is very much plugged in. Like, when he's not on the set of a soap opera, he's very much plugged in. I'm sorry, I had to take that shot. But no, he does decent on that show. Did I just admit that I watch soap operas? We might have a bigger issue with that. We'll get back to that, circle back. But anyway, Stephen A. Smith is a guy who is, you know, he's in the know. So if he says that he's hearing rumors that this player wants to go to this team, look, don't be surprised if it happens. I just don't think it happens this offseason. Could be wrong, though. Kevin Durant, however, if he opted out of his contract and entered free agency, that would not surprise me one bit at all. Let's move on now to some hockey. And the Tampa Bay Lightning eliminated by the Florida Panthers last night. That series was a very quick five games. Really, even the game that Tampa won didn't even really feel like a Tampa win. It was just kind of one of those of like, hey, yeah, you didn't get swept. You're still going to lose the series, but you didn't get swept. And I think the Lightning have a lot of issues and a lot of question marks. That should be the title of this episode. We'll call this episode Question Marks because we're talking about a lot of teams that are heading into their offseason with question marks. First, it was the Lakers, then it's the Phoenix Suns. Now we're talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's just that time of year. Teams are getting eliminated from the postseason, and you're starting to really kind of talk about what they need to do moving forward to help fix their issues. And I think one of the things for the Lightning they need to look at, really, is they need to have two plans. And this was said in the broadcast of last night's game, and I think that they put it perfectly. They need to have a plan for if Steven Stamkos does come back to Tampa, they need to have a plan of how do we move on from Steven Stamkos, right? What do we do if he does leave? Because there is a very, very real possibility that Stammer has played his last game in a Tampa Bay Lightning uniform, right? The way he came off the ice last night, I know he's the captain. He's done that before where he's waited for all the entire team to get off the ice before he goes in. That's just what he does as the captain of the team. But also just looking at his face last night as he's doing that, you could kind of tell he's soaking it in. He's taking in that last moment of potentially being a Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, he may not know exactly what he wants to do. That is something that will be thought about, and I'm sure there'll be many conversations between he and the Lightning front office about where to go from here. And if there's an opportunity for him to come back, I think there's a very small chance for it. I wouldn't necessarily say it's completely out of the question, but I will lean more towards the fact that Steven Stamkos has played his last game in a Lightning uniform. So the Tampa Bay Lightning have to look at this of where do we go from here? What do we do? First and foremost, okay, if Stammer comes back, if Steven Stamkos comes back, he's still our captain. Where do we go from here to help build this team, not only around Steven Stamkos, but also set us up with younger players and younger guys to where when Steven Stamkos does eventually leave or does eventually retire, we're still set up for the future moving forward. Or the tougher of the option, we've just lost our captain. We have no captain on the team right now. Not only do we have to find a new captain on the team, but we also have to find a new way of moving forward without one of the most popular guys in the NHL in our locker room. Right? Because, I mean, if you ask around, it doesn't matter. You can even ask rivals of the Tampa Bay Lightning what they think of Steven Stamkos. It's not a bad word. It is not a bad word. Steven Stamkos is one of the more well-liked players in the NHL. So you have to, if you're the Lightning, look at how that's going to impact you, whether he stays or whether he leaves, and you got to have a plan for both. Also, for the Florida Panthers, they are no longer little brother anymore. It's now the second straight year that the Florida Panthers have eliminated the Tampa Bay Lightning. They did it last year. They did it again this year. The question for the Florida Panthers now, they've shown last year they can get to the Stanley Cup Finals. They can get there. Can they win it? Right? It's that question that we ask. I mean, we asked it with Kansas City there for a while. Kansas City just kept getting to the AFC Championship game, but they couldn't get past it, right? Back when it was the battle between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in the NFL, the Colts, it was the same question. The Colts keep getting to the AFC Championship game, but Tom Brady and the Patriots keep beating them to go on to the Super Bowl. Eventually, we saw the Colts get over that hump. Eventually, we saw Kansas City get over that hump. Is this the year we see the Florida Panthers get over that hump and actually not only make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, but bring the Stanley Cup home there to South Beach? I think they've got a really great opportunity. Look, their goalie is one of the best in the entire world of hockey. Not just the NHL, but the world of hockey. I mean, you look through SPHL, ECHL, all the different leagues throughout the country, all the different leagues throughout the world. They've got arguably one of the best goalies in the world of hockey. Point, period. And I think when you have a guy like that in between the pipes, you're going to be set up for a great opportunity to win a Stanley Cup championship. Because, I mean, if you look at it, it's not just the fact that he's in net for them. It's the fact that they also can score goals, right? I mean, they scored five goals, what, three of the five games, they scored five goals. And then in the elimination game last night, they put six on the board against the Lightning. That's not easy to do against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they did it multiple times. So I think this Florida Panthers team is really set up to be in a good position and a good place moving forward, and watch out for them, folks. They could be coming strong with the Stanley Cup. Obviously, lots of great teams still left in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we'll see how it plays out. I believe they go on. I don't have the bracket in front of me, but I believe that they go on to play the winner of Winnipeg and Colorado. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's who they play. So they're going to have a tough test for them waiting in the second round. But like I said, the Florida Panthers, keep an eye out for them moving forward. Some NFL news. Looks like Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys have mended that relationship. They signed a one-year deal bringing him back. That one-year deal with a max value of $3 million. I think it's smart, right? Ezekiel Elliott kind of, it's like that relationship you have, right? That relationship, you're with somebody, it's just a perfect fit, but then something happens, you break up, you separate, you go see other people, and you realize, this is not what I want. I want that person. So you end up coming back to each other and working out the problems. That's exactly what we had happen here. The Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott separated. Zeke went out and played for another team, said, this is not what I want. I want to be a Cowboy. I'm a Cowboy. Put me back on the team with Dak. And that's exactly what they did. And I think it works out perfectly for the Cowboys because you lose a guy like Tony Pollard in the offseason free agency to the Tennessee Titans. You need to go out and find a running back that's going to be somebody that you can rely on and that you can trust in. And I think from their time before, they're going to look at Ezekiel Elliott as being that guy that they can kind of put a good bit of a faith in moving forward. So we'll see what happens there. The Atlanta Falcons, they're exercising tight end Kyle Pitts' fifth-year option. This will be for not this upcoming season, but the next season in 2025. It does come with a guaranteed $10.8 million salary. Of course, Kyle Pitts, great at Florida with the Gators. A big, big weapon for them offensively during the Dan Mullen era with Kyle Trask as his quarterback. And he has been a guy that hasn't really been able to necessarily get to that full potential in the NFL. Went to the Pro Bowl his rookie year, had a great rookie season, played in the Pro Bowl. Following season, tears an MCL late in the season. I believe like a week 10, week 11 is when he made that MCL tear. And then, you know, last year just kind of was going through it and just trying to kind of come back from that MCL tear. So I really look for Kyle Pitts, especially with Kirk Cousins, a veteran quarterback who knows how to read the defense, who can make the throws. And honestly, Kirk Cousins is a guy that likes to, you know, rely on the tight end, kind of dump it down to the tight end on some plays when they break down. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be a very big weapon for this Atlanta offense next season or this upcoming season. So I think it was a smart idea right here to go ahead and exercise that option. Not wait till the end of this year and then exercise it. They said, you know what, you're our guy at tight end. We want to show you that we have faith in you, despite the MCL tear, despite you maybe not necessarily living up to the potential we thought you might have at the NFL level. We understand you're still kind of trying to develop. You had the setback with the MCL injury. We still have faith in you. We're exercising your option, and we're going to keep you around not only for this season but next season as well. So I think it's smart. Another smart move involving a tight end, the Kansas City Chiefs. They have re-signed Travis Kelce to a two-year deal worth $34.2 million. $17 million of that is guaranteed fully for this upcoming season. So he's definitely getting some money there. Smart move by the Chiefs. I mean, we saw them in the draft. Talked a little bit about it on yesterday's episode. They go out and they get Xavier Worthy from Texas in the draft as that next, quote-unquote, Tyreek Hill-type player for them that's going to be that quick, speedy option that's going to help them kind of push defenses down the field, help spread defenses out, because you can use him in multiple different ways, and he's going to burn just about whoever he's going up against in a one-on-one matchup. So you got Xavier Worthy coming in. I think you need to have a veteran presence to kind of help him through, and that's exactly what you get with Travis Kelce. So I think it's a smart decision here. Plus, I mean, just look at all the plays he makes for them, right? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think arguably do not win the last two Super Bowls if they don't have Travis Kelce. Heck, I'll even say that they don't make it to the Super Bowl this past season if they don't have Travis Kelce. So I think it was smart to lock him down and definitely kind of get in there and say, you know what, This is definitely a guy that we want to make sure is here for at least the next couple of seasons. Plus, you know, I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore. I mean, he's getting up there. He's getting a little older. But I think, you know, by the time this deal, this 2-3 year contract deal is up for him in Kansas City, it might be that time where he starts looking around going, all right, my brother's not in the league anymore. I've got my championships. I've got the you know, records that I've got. I've got the lady that I've got. Maybe take some time off from football and just go hang out with her on tour for a little bit, you know? So we'll see what happens. But again, Kansas City, a 2-year deal worth $34.2 million with $17 million guaranteed in the first year. Travis, my man, let me hold a couple of dollars because that is $17 million for one season. That's a good deal right there for him. Jarvis Landry. I hate to see this. I was a big Jarvis Landry fan when he was drafted in 2014 by the Miami Dolphins. He did some good things for the Dolphins. He went to Cleveland, was paired up with Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland, was able to make some plays for them. Goes to New Orleans, hurts his ankle. Was it in December of the 2022 season? And got put on IR and really has not played football since. So this has been over a year since he played football. He is actually going to be participating in the Jacksonville Jaguars rookie mini camp after not playing at all. Like I said, last season did not play a single down of football, really hasn't played a meaningful down of football since December 2022 with the New Orleans Saints when he had that injury I just mentioned to his ankle. Here's my thing with this, and this is what I hate to talk about. He's a receiver. Your ankles are very important if you're a receiver for cutting, planting your foot in the ground, all of the things you need to do to be able to run your routes. Your ankles are very important. So to see a guy who is 31 coming off of an ankle injury who has not played in what at this point now about a year and a half, I hope that he can actually do some things and Jacksonville sees it, or maybe another team sees it and says, you know what, that could be a guy we can sign on our team and have as a 3 or 4 receiver, you know, maybe just somebody that can kind of come in and you know, be a maybe even a 5 receiver. I don't know, but I doubt it. Again, 31, coming off of an ankle injury, hasn't played in a year and a half. To be going as a tryout player to a rookie mini camp at the age of 31 with this much experience under your belt in the NFL, I think that speaks volumes that there is a lot of teams inside the league that really just don't want anything to do with Jarvis Landry. And again, that is unfortunate because this was a guy that when he was with Miami, when he was with Cleveland, he was making plays. I mean, he was a talented receiver inside the league. So I'm hoping that maybe this injury isn't something that holds him back too much. The fact that he hasn't played in over a year and a half doesn't hold him back too much. And he is, like I said, able to turn some heads there with Jacksonville, or maybe at least, you know, his agent can kind of send out tape or something of the mini camps to other teams or something like that. And just try to get somebody interested in him because, man, it's tough to see a player go out this way still feeling like they can play. You know, it's kind of like what we saw with Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre still felt like he could play, right? Still tried to hang around the league. We see it all the time. These players, they stick around and play just a few two seasons too many, or just a few two games too many. And it's sad, you know, because you want to see them go out on top. You want to see them have that Jerome Bettis, Peyton Manning-esque right off into the sunset, Ray Lewis-esque right off into the sunset with a championship trophy and call it a career. You want to see that for players, or you at least want them to be able to say, you know what, I gave it my all. I have nothing left. I'm done with the game. I love the game. I'm still going to follow it, maybe get into broadcasting. Love it, but I'm done with the game. Here it seems like he's saying he's not done with the game, but the game's saying it's done with him. And it's sad that it ends that way for players, but I mean, that's part of it, unfortunately. But I wish nothing but luck to Jarvis Landry with the Jacksonville Jaguars rookie minicamp. Hopefully he can hopefully he can turn some heads there and find a spot either on the Jags roster or somewhere else and kind of maybe revive that career he had going for him. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have more for you tomorrow. It's the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.